So I will read you from a website called Kveller. I have no idea what the status of Kveller is. I think it's like collected to Jew in the City, which is an Orthodox, you know, of course, website. I don't exactly know who's writing Kveller or what's writing Kveller or what it is, but it's a very hot topic. It's a very, very popular website, which it talks a lot about Jewish customs, Jewish, like, hak and things like that. So on their entry for Havdalah, they write like this. Shabbat, the weekly Jewish day of rest, is an opportunity for you to take a break from the hustle and bustle of everyday life and focus on the things that matter most to you, family, community, personal growth. Okay. As the sky gets dark on Saturday evening, it can be hard to let go of this restful oasis. It's very powerful. Luckily, Judaism has a special ceremony that allows you to officially part with Shabbat while expressing the hope that some of the restorative power of this special day will remain throughout the work week. This farewell ceremony is called Havdalah, which literally means separation. Then it has a paragraph called How to Make Havdalah. When three stars are in the sky on Saturday evening, it's time for Havdalah. You'll need a braided candle. I know it has to be braided, okay? A spice box filled with spices. Obviously, it has to be certain types of spices. It doesn't say that. And a Kiddush cup holding wine or grape juice. There's a special blessing to recite over each of these items. The text can be found in a prayer book, Jewish prayer book, where you can click the link. Gather, here we go. Gather family and or friends together. And if you like, form a circle. Okay? To enhance the mood, you can dim or turn off the lights in the room. I'll repeat that sentence. To enhance the mood, you can dim or turn off the lights in the room and have different people hold the candle, the spice box, and the Kiddush cup. The Havdalah blessings are recited or sung in Hebrew or English, either by one person or all together. As each blessing is said, the relevant item is made accessible to the group. The Kiddush cup is held up for all to see, but the wine is not sipped until the end. The spices are passed around, and each person takes a moment to smell their sweetness. The candle is held high, and each person puts his hands up onto the candle's light, into the candle's light, turning their hands over, palms in, and bending the fingers. Some people look into the eyes of those near them to see their light reflected there. It's very powerful. Last paragraph. When the blessings are concluded, each person can take a sip from the wine or grape juice. It is customary to pour the remainder of the wine juice into a non-flammable dish or basin in which the candle is then extinguished. Very powerful kumbaya havdal over here. Remember, it forms a circle. That's the only part which I have no idea where they got that from. I think it's like an Orthodox website. It's spiritual. Kveller is, I think it's connected to, I thought it was like one of the affiliates of like Jew in the City, which is a Kirov like type of. Right, but it's a great, great website. A lot of great, interesting. I think Kveller is part of this. I think it's part of that like a group of websites. I'm not sure. But so you gather your family or friends together, and if you like, form a circle. Here's the line we're going to focus on. Is Kveller right in their psak that to enhance the mood, you can dim or turn off the lights in the room? Yes or no? Do you turn off the lights by Havdalah? Let's vote. Does anyone turn off the lights?
Can we change that sentence?
Sure. Do you, when you are making the bracha on the candle for Havdalah, do you go over your electric lights and shut them all off? Yes.
No.
What?
May you?
I want to know. Do you? Yo. Raise your hand if you do.
I shut beforehand.
You say with your eyes. So you say with dark. You say Havdalah in the dark.
It's not dark, but the
lights are dim, darker. Yeah.
But not to enhance the mood.
Not to enhance the mood. But well, 1 second. But I still want to know. No one's answering me correctly here. I want to vote. I'm voting correct. I want to know an accurate.
It's half and half. I turn up the dining room, the living room's still on. It's like it's
okay, so does anyone specifically, I'm going to rephrase my question. Does anyone specifically and intentionally turn off something for Havdalah? Raise your hand if yes.
My son does.
Okay, so it's about 50% of the room. Does anyone specifically or intentionally not turn off the lights? I don't know. I just don't turn it off. Okay. Comes along, let's sum up everything we said last time. It was before Pesach, right? So everyone already forgot. In one sentence, we said that there is a machlokas whether you're supposed to look at the candle before you make the bracha or make the bracha before you look at the candle. And we suggested maybe that's based on what the bracha of the candle is supposed to be. If it's a bracha nenin, like eating a cookie and one in which you're benefiting from the light, so certainly you have to make the bracha first. And then you look at the candle, and that was what Reb Moshe Feinstein said, because the bracha, so the candle, is like a birchas hanenin. It's like you're benefiting it, just like you don't eat a cookie in your mouth before you make a bracha. So do you make a bracha first, then you look at the light, but it's important to look at the light according to that understanding, because the light is the benefit that you're getting. On the other hand, we said the Mishnah Berurah and others said, no, you can look first at the light and then make the bracha. Why? Because it's a birchas hashevach. It's a birchas hashvach. It's a bracha that we're praising God for the concept and the beauty of light. Obviously, you have to be able to benefit from the light to make the bracha, but you have to be close enough so you can maybe recognize the benefit, but it, you don't have to actually physically benefit from the light, because it's not a birchas hanehenin, it's a birchas hashabach, that you're on the concept of on the light. Now, I would suggest, and I saw this in the Torah journal called Kovis Tmunos, where the author of this article suggested the same thing. It should be based on this machlokas. I'll read you what he says. V'naf gamina, another ramification of whether the bracha on the candle by Abdullah is a birchas hanenin, like a cookie, or if it's like a birchas hashevach, like, I don't know, you make a bracha on thunder or lightning or something like that. Yeah? Right? Or something. What do you say?
Rainbow.
Rainbow. That was okay. Same idea. He says, the nafkamina is wagabe kiboy or hachashmal becheder. Do you need to shut off the electricity in the room? Shema brachi birchas hashevach. If it's just the concept of light, that it's the praising for the God made this, we're praising God, thank you for light in general. Ein tzarech lechabos es hachashmal. You don't need to shut off the electricity in the room. Shalei ro tzarech lehanos mea or bepoel. You don't have to actually physically benefit from the candle, but oh, if not for the candle, I wouldn't be able to see my fingernails. It just needs to be that, like, the candle is you're close enough that in theory you could benefit from it, and that you appreciate the light, but not that you have to physically benefit. Ach, but if it's like eating a cookie, where you have to actually benefit from the light, you would need ideally to shut off the electricity, so you could actually benefit from the candle. So it seems to me, and this is the Torah Journal suggests as well, it should be based on everything we said last time, which we all forgot over Pesach, but it's whether the birchas and the ner is a birchas hanenin or a birchas hashevach. Fine, everything should be nice and glatt on this. I'll read to you, it follows the whole way through. The stipler, who last time I believe also said it was a birchas hanenin, says like this. He writes that, and then they write in the Sefer Arkas Rabbeinu, which is the Stipler's Minhagim, that the Maran Zatzal lo kibach hashmal b'Avdala. He didn't turn off any lights by Avdala. The Chenu Eitzel Maran, also Rav Shlita, also Reb Chaim Kanievsky. The Ta'amam, what was their reason? You don't have to actually benefit from the candle. It's not a birchas hanehenin. Because it's that's what we told you. It's just a birchas hashevach. You just need to be close enough that in theory you could check it, but you don't have to be like neurotic and of what's everyone's favorite thing to do by Avdala. Smack the guy out of the way. Same thing by my other pet peeve is by Hagbah. You know, everyone needs to like stick their finger there and write and look at the Torah. See, you always see these people knock everyone out of the way to like make sure that like they can see every word, as if that's like the most important thing. I promise you, it's much better not to knock your friend out of the way, then and just that you could be 5 feet or further.
Kiss the
Torah is even worse, because that, so some say you shouldn't even touch, kiss the Torah at all. That's a whole, I've got a whole other thing about that. Some say you shouldn't even kiss it, because who are you to kiss the Torah? What do you think, you're so great that you could kiss the Torah? Who are you? So some poskim, some of the German poskim don't like the concept of kissing the Torah, because it's a gaiva thing. But everyone always runs after Torah to kiss it. But you're supposed to follow the Torah to give it kavod. But the concept of kissing it is a newfangled thing. Or more of a Sfardish poskim are the ones who came up with that idea. But anyway, but we're digressing. The point is that Stiper is very clear that since it's a Berchas HaShevach, there's no need to like actually see your fingernails and like stick your head right into the fire. No need at all. Rav Nissim Karelitz, however, says the exact opposite. He says, Vine Rabim Toim, there are many people who are mistaken. Why? He says, they've got all these lights on. Hey, magbim yidayim, and they lift their hands to the candle. He says the sovrim, and they think shiyotzim b'zeh, that they're yotzei berchasei. She says they're fools. He says u'amein zemoel, this doesn't help. Tafilim lu'achashmal ayaner meirulem. If you would turn off the candle, if you turn off the electric lights, you would be able to benefit from the candle. But now, the lights, electric lights are on. What is the Ner Avdolah doing for you? It's doing absolutely nothing, he says. You have a huge family. We're in a simcha call, and there's 1,000 people or 500 people in the simcha call. What do you do? He says, they all can't get close to the candle, so what should he do? What should he do? You should turn off the lights, the electricity. Even those that are far away, so you have two poskim who lived, or nephews, uncles and nephews from each other, who lived, I think, a block away from each other, who are literally from here to there. Stipler said it's ridiculous to turn off the light. Why? You never did that. Why? Because you don't need to actually benefit it. And Nissim Karelitz says there are those mistaken people, I guess uncle, I know, who don't turn off the light. I used to have more of a bigger crowd. So there, but it's like a smaller crowd, maybe you could get so close. But he said if you have 25 people around your Avdallah, or even 10 people around your Avdallah, and not everyone could get close to the light, he says for sure you have to turn off the light. Otherwise, you're not benefiting at all from the candle. I hope I have thoroughly confused you. I'll add one more level of confusion. The Halakha of Chafetz Chaim, last time we did this, said you're supposed to look first and then make the bracha because it was a Birchas HaShevach, goes out of his way that they say that he's cited as that he shut the lights, implying that it's a Birchas HaNenin. So you got a contradiction even within the Chafetz Chaim's own opinion. So very confusing.
Maybe
so
it's a combination of both.
So we're going to have to say something similar to that.
But the real question is, what did they do before electricity?
So, well, before electricity was...
You can't shut the lights, well, that means you're turning off all the fires.
Well, I don't know, maybe they figure it'd be easier, because maybe you could walk away from the one areas of that... Right, yeah, they didn't have as many lights, I'm assuming. I don't know, I wasn't around pre-electricity, but I assume that their houses were less lit than they are now.
It doesn't say you couldn't. They didn't specifically turn off the lights.
Right, you have to specifically
do. Have lights on.
So I'm going to give you a reason at the end why I think maybe you should keep the lights on. But that's a separate issue. 1 second. But at this point, we haven't seen some of that. I don't know if I... So comes along the Rivos Ephraim, and he says, even if it's a Birchas HaShevach, meaning even if you don't actually have to benefit from the light, he thinks it's a good idea that you shut the lights. Why? Why? He says, because I'll tell you a problem. Even if it's a Birchas HaShevach, you don't have to actually physically benefit from the actual candle. You have to be able to benefit from it. Let me ask you a question. When you light that candle, why are you lighting that candle? Because you may want to benefit from it? Because you could benefit from it? Why are you lighting the candle? You know why you're lighting it? Because it's Avdallah. And you know what? That would be the worst thing in the whole world. Because you're lighting a candle for a Avdallah purpose, But you're not really viewing this candle. It's like kind of like almost kiviyachol. I mean,
you don't need
it's like a yard site light, you know, kiviyachol. It's that you're not using this light to benefit from. You're using it, you're lighting this light for a separate other purpose. Well, hello.
Symbolic.
Right. That's the worst thing in the whole world. That is the worst thing in the whole world, says Rav Ephraim. To light a candle as a symbolic thing for Avdallah, he says, that's not good. You're supposed to either be able to physically benefit from it, or at least physically know you could benefit from it, and that it's that I'm praising the concept of light. If I just light a candle because, oh, that's the part of my ceremony of Avdallah, and I'm going to light a candle for Avdallah candle, that defeats the entire purpose. It's not a ceremonious light. It's either you're physically benefiting from it or you physically could benefit from it. It's a brechas shabbat on the concept of light. If you're lighting it just as Avdallah candle, he says that defeats the whole purpose. So he says, you know what a way to avoid you doing that? Shut off all the lights. Then you'll really appreciate that candle and you're lighting it.
Isn't
yeah.
Shabbat really a symbolic thing?
So I know that's a great question. Remember, Shabbat is not really symbolic. It's that I'm actually praising Hashem, not necessarily for this specific light, but for the concept of light. But if this light is just lit as a Havdalah ceremony, then it's not really light in general. It's just this candle for the ceremonious. And look, you could argue with this. Rav Ephraim, I think, is a big chiddush.
Okay.
But he says, therefore, you should shut off all the lights. You avoid any problems. Okay. Right. Some say, though, the opposite way. Yeah.
Isn't it lighting the candle to show that now you can use fire again?
Okay, so if you're doing that, then maybe. But the problem is that most people, when they light it, you know what they're lighting it for? Because it says in the Siddur, you're supposed to light for Avdol, for Avdol. And they have no idea what they're doing. You're a smart guy. You also came to my father's shir. Now you know everything about Avdol. But for those that don't really know what you're doing, you just do it. You know, and I don't know about you. I don't really think always. Get out the Avdol stuff, right? You tell your kids, get out the Avdol stuff. The candle's Avdol stuff. That is not really Avdol stuff. It's either you need a benefit from the light, like you're eating a cookie, or you have, it's a berchas shevach on the concept of light. It's not one of the Avdol stuff. Says Rav Ephraim, you know how to make sure you don't view it as Avdol stuff? Shut off the light, and then you'll really need the candle. You'll appreciate the candle. Now, others, now that I've confused you, I'm going to confuse you the opposite way. Even if you say it's like a cookie, some say you don't have to turn off the lights. Why? I thought I have to actually benefit from the light. So three answers to this. The Migdol Tzofim says that, you know why? And this is need the scientists in the room. You could help me this. Does the candle add anything in terms of light, even when you have electricity on? Probably it does,
a little.
Right? Not so much, but it probably does from a pure view. You analyze the brightness of the room. The candle probably adds some element of additional light. Not so much.
In the immediate vicinity of the candle, it'll
yeah,
do it.
It does. No, the eye doctors in the room can tell me if it's from the other. The lights, I have no idea. But it's got to add some better way. Yeah, it does. I'm sure it does. So what do you need to turn off the lights on? So you added light. Did you add light? Yes.
But you can argue you're not really getting a benefit from that additional light.
No, you are, though. I think you would argue. You would argue getting a benefit from that light. If you're within that vicinity, you may not appreciate that you're getting a benefit, but you probably are. No? If you're close enough to that light and you can't tell with your naked eye that you're benefiting from it, you probably are benefiting from it. If you would if the eye doctors would make you read the lights and you had the candle, you'd probably see a little better.
You will see more of a reflection on your fingernails from that candle than you will from the upstairs light.
I hear you. What do you agree?
Yeah, I think so. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I think so. So if that's it, so you're adding light. So you may not appreciate it, but you are benefiting more from that candle lit. That's answer number one. Answer number two, why you don't have to shut off the lights, is because, this is interesting, I saw this in the journal, Hamor, here's a little of I didn't even realize the pun, but he has the opposite, like a counterintuitive. He says, if you turn off the light, you know what's going to happen? No one is going to come close to the candle. You can have a room of 30 people, shut off the light. No one's going to care because they're going to think, oh, the lights are off. I could benefit from the light. But you know what? Row number 7
doesn't see
it. Can't see it. As opposed to if you don't turn off the light, what happens? The charge. Okay, you shouldn't knock your friend. But there is ways to charge you know, safely to come into the light, and everyone actually sticks their hand into the light, into the actual candle, and then you really benefit from it. So it's actually counterintuitive. If you shut off the light, people get confident that I'm benefiting from the light, even though they're not really benefiting from the light at all. So it's actually a very interesting logic behind it. So he says, if you don't turn off the light, people will actually come, because everyone knows you're supposed to see the light, so everyone charges. If you don't turn off the light, no one's going to charge the guy, and therefore they're not even going to benefit from the light. They're going to be sitting in the dark like a dope in the back and say, oh, I fulfilled Avdala the ideal way. No, you didn't. That's answer number two. Answer number three says the Chuvas van Hagus, which I don't know if this applies Bisman Hazet anymore. I mean, the Chuvas van Hagus is the Ziknei Gedolei Adar. He's 100 years old in Eretz Yisrael, but I don't know when he wrote this. He must have written this maybe 30, 40 years ago. I don't know if this is the same today. Are most of our lights incandescent bulbs or not? No. Are these incandescent bulbs? No, right? No. Right. So in the world of incandescent bulbs, he says, worst comes to worse, right? You don't benefit from the candle. What do you benefit from? The electricity. So worst comes to worst. You're making Avdallah, you're making the bracha on an incandescent bulb, which is hanging over you. But nowadays, if it doesn't work, then if our bulbs are not incandescent bulbs anymore, then this svara doesn't apply. But his point is that even if you don't actually benefit from the light, but you need to benefit from the light, you're benefiting from another light, the incandescent bulb right above you. Maybe that's a third leniency why not to shut off the light. Final point, and then I'll tell you why maybe it's better not to turn off the light. So v'shmir Shabbos kelchasa, this gets into a little bit what my father was talking about on Yontif, is that what about when you have Shabbos then Yontif, right? Shabbos, so you make Avdoa, right? Yaknahaz, right? Shabbos then Yontif, yeah, right?
You got to put two candles together.
Well, that's right. That's right.
Oh, but you don't turn off the lights.
Right. But, says the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa. Yeah, big talker. What are you going to do now? It's Shabbos Tiyantif. What are you going to do? You can't turn off the lights now, so you're messed over. So clearly, even those who turn off the light, he says, on Yontif, that falls out Matzei Shabbos. You obviously don't need to worry about it. And we could have argued, maybe go to the dark room. Maybe leave yourself a corner that's dark. And closet. Then maybe closet. Go to a closet. Or find the darkest room to make it. Maybe. Yeah, exactly. I don't know. Or maybe you have to leave a light above the candles off. He says you don't have to worry about it. Then I saw him say for Otsus Yishlaim. He says, well, I don't understand that. That's like, you know, hypocritical. Either you need the lights off. That's on. Like he says, Tzarchin on Mishmir Shabbos Kolchasa. It just doesn't jive. Like either you need to be dark, or you don't need to be dark to play this game. That Matzei Yontif, you know, option. You know, he doesn't understand the svara of that. So he weaves it Tzarchin. So the upshot is that there's definitely poskim who say you should shut off the lights, and there are many poskim. There are also many great poskim who say you could keep the lights on. I would certainly tell you that if you're making Avdallah from a sitter. This is my thought on it. If you're making Avdallah from a sitter, which many people do, you don't always often. We gave a chabur on this a few months ago. Most people, the most slurred tefillah, I think for sure, Avdallah. You know, people, no one even knows the bracha Neoko Yeshua Sivtach, because everyone's too lazy to get a sitter for Avdallah, and the words are difficult at the beginning, and the brachas people mumble their way through. That's what we talked about a few months ago, and so probably it's a good idea to use a sitter for Avdallah. If you're using a sitter and you shut off the lights, you won't be able to see from the sitter. You're not going to put the candle right by the sitter. It's hard to see the candle. Yeah. It's usually someone else holding the candle. It's not right by. You're not going to put the page of the sitter right by the candle. Especially as you get older, it's harder to read the small print from it. So it's the same part. It'd be fine, but see, if you're saying it by heart, fine. But certainly, there's definitely a thought that if you want top lights, so the electricity, so you can read it from a sitter, then for sure I think it makes sense to keep the lights on. The upshot is that, look, you have great poskim on all sides. Do whatever your father did, if you remember. And your father may not have had electricity lights. So in that case, then it's not such a shiloh. But really, minhag is, you're fine to do whatever you want. probably it makes sense that for the candle to shut off the lights. This way you get some benefit. In my house, we don't do it. I think it's too distracting. That's my thought is that when you have little kids that they're turning on. I remember we did this. Kids turn off all the lights in the house and they turn back on the lights and it becomes a whole game in the middle of Abdallah. Then if you have little kids like that, I would suggest not doing it. That's why I don't do it in my house. It becomes a game. It becomes dangerous also if you turn off all the lights. Someone could trip. So you have to make sure you know what you're doing and your other issues are taken care of first. Other than that, there's great posts can throw a light upon either way you go. Shkoyach.